You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Today we're exploring a complex and rare genetic disorder occurring in approximately 1 in 15,000 live births. It's called Prader-Willi syndrome, or PWS. PWS is characterized by a range of medical and developmental challenges, most notably a chronic and overwhelming physiological drive to eat constantly. Joining the exchange to discuss the latest medical breakthroughs and the personal realities for families in the Pacific Northwest, including Southern Oregon, I have two experts in the field. Dr. Parisa Salahi is a pediatric endocrinologist. She specializes in PWS and provides clinical care for youth across Washington and Alaska. Welcome to the exchange, Dr. Salahi.
Hello there. Thank you for having me.
And also joining us is Annie Frick, the Marketing and Communications Coordinator for the Prader-Willi Syndrome Association. Annie is also the parent of a 14-year-old daughter with PWS, and she recently helped lead the PWS Roadshow, a regional tour that stopped in Medford on July 18th to provide localized resources and to build a permanent village of support for isolated families throughout Southern Oregon. Welcome to the exchange, Annie.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, Dr. Salahi, let's start with, what is Prader-Willi syndrome, and why is it classified as a complex genetic disorder?
Yeah, Prader-Willi syndrome is a condition that people are born with. It is due to a difference in chromosome 15, and that difference causes a number of different medical conditions. Some of the medical conditions are related to an area of the brain called the hypothalamus and pituitary. If you were to take a slice through the brain halfway through, you would hit that area. That area is the control tower for a number of our hormones. It also helps regulate how hungry we feel, how full we feel. It helps regulate our muscles, and it helps regulate our sleep. So it's a really important area. We know that people with Prader-Willi syndrome have differences in that area of the brain, which can cause a number of different medical issues. So they can have differences in hormones, which is where people like me come in as a pediatric endocrinologist. Our specialists, we specialize in hormone management. So they can have differences in growth hormone, thyroid hormone, puberty hormones. They can have disorders of sleep. They can have disorders in behavioral regulation. They can also have differences in things like temperature regulation. They tend to have lower muscle tone, which makes it difficult for them to do things like sit on time, walk on time, and also makes it a little bit more challenging for them to exercise and keep up. But that doesn't stop a lot of our individuals with PWS in getting involved in a lot of activities. But this condition affects so many different levels in the person with PWS that it really takes a village to help a family manage the medical issues and help that individual grow to be a healthy adult.
Well, Dr. Salahi, you said it's diagnosed that kids are born with this. So when is it diagnosed and how do you do that? How do you know?
Great question. It actually is diagnosed by just the symptoms that somebody presents with as an infant. So we are doing our best to educate more and more providers, that especially those who are in the NICU or in nurseries where they see the babies first, that if they see a baby with certain features, that they should do testing that looks for Prader-Willi syndrome. The most specific thing that we tell people to look for is low tone. So as I was saying, people with PWS tend to have low muscle tone. In a baby, this presents as being very floppy. So these babies have trouble moving their heads. They have trouble even taking deep breaths. They have trouble eating, so they require feeding assistance through feeding tubes. And they can even have trouble with keeping up their oxygen levels when they are breathing because of the low tone and the low muscle strength. So they're not able to take deep breaths sometimes. So if there is an infant born who has those features, the recommendation is to evaluate for Prader-Willi syndrome. Now, there's special genetic testing that is done to diagnose it. And as genetic testing has gotten better, people have gotten much better at diagnosing this very promptly. So about 10, 20 years ago, the genetic testing was not as good as it was today. And so about a third to half of individuals born before, you know, 20, 30 years ago might not have been diagnosed promptly. Now we're doing much better with better genetic tests to diagnose this. And as soon as a baby is diagnosed, then the family can get the information they need regarding what doctors they should be seeing, what kind of tests they should be doing to keep their baby healthy and to help them thrive.
And so you're saying that the testing has gotten better. Does that account for the new data?
Yes. So the data back 30 years ago estimated that the incidence of Prader-Willi was in about 1 to 30,000. However, the newer data is showing that it's closer to 1 to 15 to 1 to 20,000. And that is most likely due to better testing. So the test that was done before only looked for one type of Prader-Willi syndrome. So Prader-Willi syndrome, that change in chromosome 15q, 111, that specific area of the chromosome, can be due from either being born without that area from the mom, or it can be done, it could be born, it could be due to having two copies of the chromosome. Or it could be due to another rare genetic form where that area of the chromosome is not expressed. So there are different ways that area of that chromosome can be affected. And because of that, older tests were only looking for the deletion of the area that was inherited from the father. And that would only account for about 50 to 60% of individuals with Prader-Willi syndrome. However, newer testing has evolved so that now they can actually do tests that indicate what areas of chromosomes came from a mom or what areas of chromosome came from a dad. And these newer testing methods have allowed people to have accuracy is up to 99%. So now we are doing a much better job with these newer genetic tests of being of promptly diagnosing infants.
I appreciate that explanation. My guests are Dr. Parisa Salehi, a pediatric endocrinologist and specialist in Prader-Willi syndrome treatment, and Annie Fricke, the Marketing and Communications Coordinator with the Prader-Willi Syndrome Association. Now, Annie, you wear two hats, both as a Communications Coordinator for the Prader-Willi Syndrome Association, and you're the parent of a child with PWS. Tell me about your experience.
Yeah. So, of course, I got into working with PWSA as a parent. I've been there 2.5 years. But, yeah, so the majority of my experience is as a parent and a caregiver. And my daughter was diagnosed at 3.5 months. And I often wonder if we had been at a bigger hospital, if she would have been diagnosed earlier. But so it's just been, you know, this is one of those disorders that people don't usually know about. So when you get a diagnosis like this, of course, it's just, there's so much that you have to learn and you have to be an advocate for your child. You know, I've been in a lot of spaces where even the medical professionals I was with didn't know, you know, in kind of a smaller towns, they haven't heard of it as much, or they're not as up on the information. So as parents, we really have to really know what we're doing, what we're talking about, and be really good advocates. So Yeah, it's been a huge learning curve.
And your daughter is now 14. What are some of her passions and the things that bring her joy?
Well, she loves to play basketball. And so she played basketball with her last school. She's about to transition into high school, which is going to be very different for us. But she loves to play basketball. She loves to do puzzling. She has, Dr. Salehi said, exercise and movement can be really challenging. And so I'm grateful that she was in a place where exercise and movement was a big part of the school activities. And so, she climbed to the top of Mount Lassen with her class, which was incredible. She loves hiking, horseback riding when she can, all that kind of stuff. So, she's very active, but we do have to take into account energy levels and rest time. And we make accommodations as we go.
Well, Annie, your organization has been on a regional roadshow this summer to address the isolation that many PWS families feel. You were just in Medford and White City on July 18th. Can you describe that experience?
Yeah, of course. One of my favorite things about these events is seeing individuals with PWS together, because often, especially living in more rural areas, small towns, our loved ones with PWS are the only person ever in the room with PWS. And so, when we got there, my daughter sat down, started doing a puzzle. And when another family arrived, it was a 22-year-old with PWS. He came right over, he sat down next to her, and they were puzzling and talking. And it was just, it's so great to see, and then to see parents and caregivers who maybe have never met another family be able to come into a room and not have to explain anything. Everybody understands. It's just so great to be in this space where you get to just feel kind of normal and typical, and you're not explaining, you're not worrying about something, you're not worrying about if there's going to be a behavior or if food's going to come in, so it's just really great to have to be in that community and to feel, you're a part of it.
Right. You're creating a community where everyone understands what's happening and everyone's supportive. Dr. Salehi, there's excitement in the community about a new treatment that's FDA approved. Tell me about it.
Yeah, this has been a really big milestone for our community. We have been doing research for decades, trying to find a medication that can really help curb the appetite. So the area of the brain that we were talking about, the hypothalamus, has a lot of different circuitry that involves nerves and hormones that control when we feel full and when we feel hungry. And that circuitry is disrupted in people with PWS. So that leads to feeling hungry all the time. And if you can imagine you feel hungry all the time, you're always thinking about food and when you're going to get to eat next. And that can be really disruptive. That takes away the focus from socializing, from learning, from being engaged. And it creates a really big burden for both the individuals with Prader-Willi syndrome as well as their families. So for decades now, we've been trying to find a medication that can make them feel less hungry. So there is a new medication that was FDA approved about a year ago. It's called Vicat XR. It's an oral medication. It's a pill taken once a day. And right now it's been FDA approved for individuals 4 years and older with a diagnosis of Prader-Willi syndrome. And what the data from the studies that led to the approval show is that when people take this medication, that they feel less hungry. And because they're feeling less hungry, this can lead to improvements in behavior and being able to concentrate more on other things other than feeling hungrier when you're going to get your next meal. This also helps with weight management. So you can imagine if you're hungry all the time and you're wanting to eat, that makes it really hard to maintain a healthy weight.
Okay, unfortunately, we're running out of time, Doctor. I'm going to have to cut you off. I am so sorry. We're going to have you back, both of you, because this is a really important issue. Annie, where can people go for more information really quick?
PWSA-OR-WA.org will tell you the events in Washington and Oregon. And please check out the PWSAUSA.org, the national website, to find all kinds of resources and information.
We're going to have to leave it there. Thank you both.